mano.
We've got a lot to cover in these three chapters, so rather than cover everything, I'm just going to pick two or three sections from each of the chapters we're looking at. And we'll see if there's any themes that run through those sections. So, in chapter 19, I want to look at how people responded to Jesus' answers. And in chapter 20, we'll look at work and rewards. And in chapter 21, we'll look at what is important. So, jumping back to chapter 19, it starts off with the Pharisees questioning Jesus. And the question is in verse
3.
The Pharisees came testing him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" But I want to look at that question first. Because where did they get that question from? And what exactly were they expecting Jesus to say? Were they expecting Jesus to just give an answer that would make him popular with the people? Because that wasn't in Jesus' character at all. He was there to do what God wanted.
چون که میدونیم اصلا شخصیت عیسی اینجوری نبوده. عیسی فقط کاری رو که خدا میخواسته انجام میداده.
And we'll quickly touch at that when we're talking about chapter 21.
باب 21 خیلی سریع بهش اشاره خواهیم کرد به این نکته.
So back to the question.
ما میگردیم به سوال با این باب.
Because in the law of Moses, it never said for any reason. Because the Pharisees obviously knew, because in verse 7 they said, why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And that law was mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter
24.
But it definitely doesn't say for any reason. Because there was only one specific reason that was mentioned in Deuteronomy 24. And that was if the husband found any some uncleanness with his wife. And in the law of Moses, that was the only reason for divorce. But we know that the Pharisees expanded the law on numerous occasions. So they added bits that weren't in the law of Moses.
اومده بودن یه سری جاها یه سری قوانینی که توی شریعت موسی نبوده خودشون بهش اضافه کرده بودن.
But rather than look at those, we'll look at Jesus' response.
اما ما به جای که بیایم به اون شریعت نگاه کنیم، میایم به پاسخ عیسی نگاه میکنیم.
Because Jesus jumps right the way back to the book of Genesis and the reason why men and women got married.
به خاطر که عیسی توی پاسخی که میده برمیگرده به ابتدای خلقت کتاب پیدایش و دلیل این که به این دلیل میپردازه که چرا اصلا زن و مرد ازدواج کرده بودن.
Because in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 it says they shall become one flesh.
به خاطر اینکه توی پیدایش باب 2 آیه 24 میخونیم که اونها تا با هم ازدواج میکنن تا یک بدن بشن.
So this is what God created and what God wanted.
از این چیزی بوده که خدا آفریده بوده و میخواسته اینطور باشه.
Now the next question that struck to me is, was divorce very common at that time?
یه سوال دیگه که توی ذهن من به وجود اومد اینه که آیا تو اون زمان واقعا طلاق یه مسئله رایجی بوده؟
And was it more common then than it is now?
و آیا مثلا توی زمان عیسی که این سوال از عیسی پرسیدن نسبت به زمان ما الان رایج‌تر بوده واقعا؟
Because it does seem fairly common these days.
به خاطر اینکه امروزا وقتی نگاه میکنیم میبینیم خیلی طلاق عادی شده.
And certainly more so than it was in this country about 40 years ago. But that, again, is looking down the wrong path. Because we shouldn't really be comparing ourselves to the world around us.
به خاطر اینکه ما نباید واقعا خودمون رو با دنیای اطرافمون مقایسه کنیم.
But what I want to look at is the disciples' attitude to this answer.
چیزی که من می‌خوام بررسی کنم اینه که ببینیم نگاه و نگرش شاگردان به پاسخ عیسی چی بوده.
Because that's recorded in verse 10.
به خاطر اینکه تو آیه 10 واکنش اونها برای ما ثبت شده.
And they said, if such is the case of a man and his wife, it is better not to marry.
توی آیه 10 می‌خونیم شاگردان به او گفتند اگر وضع مرد در قبال زن خود چنین است پس ازدواج نکردن بهتر است.
Which I think is a kind of a difficult verse to understand.
به نظرم این آیه درکش یکم سخته.
But it does show that people aren't perfect.
اما به ما نشون میده که آدم ها واقعا کامل و بی‌نقص نیستن.
And brother Jamie in his opening prayer mentioned how Jesus was perfect.
و برادر جیمی توی دعای ابتدای جلسه اشاره کردن که عیسی چقدر کامل و بی‌نقص بود.
And that we should try to follow his example.
و اینکه ما باید تلاش کنیم از مثال عیسی پیروی کنیم.
So even though the disciples weren't perfect, they continued to follow Jesus, knowing that it was only through Jesus that they could achieve righteousness.
پس با اینکه شاگردان عیسی کامل و بی‌نقص نبودن، به پیروی از عیسی ادامه دادن به خاطر اینکه می‌دونستن تنها از طریق عیسی هست که می‌تونن به پارسایی برسن.
And that they could achieve forgiveness.
از طریق اون هست که می‌تونن به بخشش از گناهان برسن.
The next section looks at, I want to look at, looks at riches.
بخش بعدی که میخوام بهش بپردازم در مورد ثروته.
And we're going to start at verse 16.
از آیه 16 شروع میکنم.
Because if we see that this person's question, he said, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
اینجا یه نفر میاد سوالی از عیسی میپرسه که چه کار نیکوی انجام دهم تا حیات جاودان داشته باشم.
And we see Jesus, his reply.
اما پاسخ عیسی به این سوال رو میبینیم.
And the first reply he gives is simply to keep the commandments.
اولین پاسخی که عیسی به این سوال میده خیلی ساده بوده، اینکه احکام شریعت رو به جا بیاریم.
And as we've already mentioned, this was quite complicated because the Pharisees kept adding to those commandments.
و همونطور که قبلا هم بهش اشاره کردیم، انجام این کار که بخواید از شریعت پیروی کنید پیچیده و سخت شده بوده. به خاطر اینکه فریسی ها هی یه سری چیزها نکات به شریعت هستی اضافه می کردن.
So he asked Jesus, which ones should he follow?
به خاطر همین این فرد از عیسی می پرسه کدوم احکام رو باید رعایت کنم.
So there could be two reasons for that question.
این فرد میتونه این سوال رو به دو دلیل پرسیده باشه.
That either he understood that the Pharisees had added some extra ones.
یا این فرد متوجه شده بوده که فریسی ها هی به شریعت هستی یه سری چیزها خودشون اضافه کرده بودن.
Or that some of the commandments were not that important.
یا این که از نظر اون فرد بعضی از اون احکام شریعت به اندازه بقیه مهم نبوده.
So he wanted to concentrate only on the important ones.
پس می‌خواسته فقط روی اون احکام مهم تمرکز کنه، اونها رو انجام بده.
And Jesus' response is to quote some of the Ten Commandments, but not all.
پاسخی که عیسی به سوال این آدم میده، توی پاسخش میاد بخشی از حرفاش نقل قول از عهد عتیقه، اما همه پاسخی که میده از عهد عتیق نیست.
Because those were the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And the young man said, all these I kept from my youth. What more do I lack? And here we have Jesus saying what else he needed to do. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven and come follow me.
که در آسمان گنج خواهی داشت آنگاه بیا و از من پیروی کن.
And we see in verse 22 that the young man went away sorrowful for he had great possessions.
و تو آیه 22 هست که میخونیم جوان چون این را شنید اندوهگین شد و از آنجا رفت زیرا ثروت بسیار داشت.
So again I want to look at the disciples' response when Jesus asks them a question.
دوباره میخوام یه نگاهی بندازیم به پاسخی که شاگردان در جواب سوال عیسی میدن.
So if you want to read verses 23 and 24 please.
Sure. آیه 23 و 24 میخونیم آنگاه عیسی به شاگردان خود گفت آمین به شما میگویم راه یافتن ثروتمندان به پادشاهی آسمان بس دشوار است. باز تأکید میکنم که گذشتن شتر از سوراخ سوزن آسانتر است از راه یابی شخص ثروتمند به پادشاهی خدا.
So in verse 25 we have the disciples' response, and that they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?"
توی آیه 25 می‌بینیم که شاگردان عیسی به این حرف عیسی چه واکنشی نشون میدن. می‌خونیم با شنیدن این مطالب بسیار شگفت‌زده شدن و پرسیدن پس چه کسی می‌تواند نجات یابد؟
So again, the disciples didn't understand the response being given back to Jesus, or rather they found it difficult to accept.
پس دوباره می‌بینیم که شاگردان عیسی متوجه اون پاسخی که عیسی داده بوده رو متوجهش نشده بودن یا اینکه براشون درک سخت بوده.
But does that mean they considered themselves to be rich?
آیا این به این معناست که شاگردان عیسی خودشون رو ثروتمند می‌دونستن؟
Or were they just talking about people in general? Because in verse 27 we said that when Peter answered, he said, "We've left all to follow you."
Because in verse 27 we said that Peter answered, he said, "We've left all to follow you."
And Jesus' reply is talking about a reward. So for those who were following him, he offered them thrones and to be judges.
برای کسایی که پیرو عیسی بودن، عیسی به اونها تخت پادشاهی و داوری رو پیشنهاد میده.
But does that just apply to the disciples, or does it apply to everyone who would follow Jesus?
اما این پاداشی که عیسی به اونها پیشنهادش رو میده، پیشگوییش رو میکنه، فقط شامل حال شاگردان عیسی میشده یا شامل حال هر کسی میشه که از عیسی پیروی کنه؟
And that's something I don't have an answer to, so we'll just have to wait and see. But he continues about those people who have left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands.
عیسی حرفاشو ادامه میده، در مورد کسایی صحبت میکنه که به خاطر عیسی خانه، برادر، خواهر، پدر، مادر یا املاک خودشون رو ترک کردن.
But not just that, there has to be a reason.
اما نه فقط اون، باید حتما یه دلیلی میداشتن.
And he says in the next few words, for my name's sake.
نه هر کسی که خونه و هرچی که داشته رو ترک کرده، کسایی که به خاطر من اونها رو ترک کردن.
So, does that apply to yourselves?
آیا این شامل حال شما میشه؟
If you've left what you have behind, and for the sake of Jesus, will you get this reward?
اگر شما هر چیزی که داشتید به خاطر عیسی رها کردید، این پاداش شامل حال شما میشه؟
And it's not a little reward, because he says, a hundredfold, and inherit everlasting life. So that is a huge reward.
پس پاداشی که عیسی ازش صحبت میکنه پاداش خیلی بزرگیه.
The last verse of chapter 19 probably should be the first verse of chapter 20.
آیه آخری که توی باب 19 متا میخونیم در واقع باید آیه اول باب 20 باشه.
Because the chapter divisions wasn't in the original text, it was added hundreds of years later.
به خاطر اینکه این تقسیم بندی بابهایی که ما امروز میبینیم توی متن اصلی وجود نداشته، صدها سال بعد از نوشته شدن کتاب مقدس در این دسته بندی ها انجام شده.
So it talks about a parable of people who were working.
اینجا داره در مورد یک مثلی صحبت میکنه، کسایی که کارگران دارن کاری رو انجام میدن.
So in verse 1 we have a landowner going out to find people to work in his vineyard.
توی آیه اول متی باب 20 در مورد یک صاحب باغی میخونیم که میره تا برای تاکستان خودش سری کارگر پیدا کنه.
So he met some people early in the morning and he hired them to work.
یه سری آدم‌ها رو، یه سری کارگرها رو صبح زود پیدا میکنه و اونها رو استخدام میکنه که توی باغش مشغول بشن.
So he agreed to pay them 1 denarius per day. Then in verse 3 he went in the third hour and found others standing in the marketplace.
توی آیه 3 می‌بینیم که این صاحب باغ نزدیک ساعت سوم روز بوده، دوباره میره بیرون توی اون بازار.
Now, I don't know if you know much about Roman timekeeping. But as I understand it, there was 12 hours of the day. And there was 4 watches of the night. So the 12 hours started at 6 in the morning and went till 6 in the evening. And the four watches of the night were 3 hours long each. Which, if our maths is correct, should be 24 hours. So the third hour of the day would be 9 o'clock in the morning. So he found more people and he asked them to go and work. And then in verse 5 he went out again at the 6th hour, which would have been midday, and the 9th hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we read again in verse 6 how he went out at the 11th hour, so 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
و توی آیه 6 هم می‌خونیم دوباره ساعت 11 هم بیرون میره یه سری افراد رو استخدام می‌کنه که ساعت 11 هم می‌شده 5 بعد از ظهر.
And he still saw people standing there, so he hired them as well.
وقتی ساعت 5 بعد از ظهر میره به بازار می‌بینه هنوز یه سری کارگرا هستن. اونا رو هم استخدام می‌کنه.
So at the end of the day, he called people forward to pay them their wages. And I'm not sure why he offered to pay the first people he hired first.
نمیدونم چرا اول به اون کارگرایی که صبح زود اول از همه استخدام کرده بوده حقوق میده.
So he gave them all the same amount of money.
اونایی که اول صبح استخدام شده بودن به همشون یکسان پول میده.
But those who were hired at 6 in the morning and had worked 12 hours weren't very happy.
تمام کارگرایی که توی ساعات مختلف روز استخدام کرده بوده پول یکسانی میده. اما کسایی که از صبح زود استخدام شده بودن و 12 ساعت کار کرده بودن از این موضوع خوشحال نبودن.
But he answered and said in verse 13 that that's what they agreed to work for.
اما تو آیه 13 میبینیم صاحب باغ جواب کارگرا رو میده و میگه شما از اول توافق کرده بودید با این مقدار پول کار کنید.
Because this is an important parable for us.
این مثال خیلی مثال مهمی برای ما هست.
One is not to grumble.
اولین درسی که میتونیم بگیریم اینه که ناله و شکایت نکنیم.
And that God is generous.
و درس دومی که خدا خیلی بخشنده است.
Because some people might spend a lot of time working for Christ.
به خاطر اینکه یه سری آدم ها ممکنه خیلی زمان زیادی رو صرف کار برای مسیح بکنن.
And yet the reward that we get is the same for those who are newly baptized.
اما پاداش اونها با کسایی که تازه تعمید گرفتن یکی خواهد بود.
But this shows you God's love for all of us.
این نشون دهنده محبت خدا به همه ماست.
Because what he's going to pay us is more than we can imagine.
به خاطر اینکه چیزی که خداوند قراره به ما بده، پاداشی که در انتظار ماست، اصلاً فرای تصور ماست.
Although when I say pay, that's probably the wrong word.
اینکه بگم چیزی که خدا می‌خواد ما پرداخت کنه اشتباهه.
It's what God is going to give us.
چیزی که خداوند به ما می‌بخشه.
Because we've already read how generous he is in the end of the previous chapter. So God is showing that we are all equal.
نشون میده که همه ما با هم برابر هستیم.
So again, after talking about being equal, we go on to someone who just didn't understand that.
دوباره حالا اینجا بعد از اینکه در مورد برابری صحبت کردیم، میریم سراغ کسی رو میبینیم اینجا که این موضوع رو درک نمیکنه.
Because in verse 20, we have the mother of Zebedee's sons asking for special favors.
به خاطر اینکه توی آیه 20 مادر پسران زبدی رو میبینیم که درخواست ویژه‌ای میکنه.
Because she wanted them to be more important.
میخواسته که پسرانش از بقیه مهمتر باشن.
Which goes completely against what they just heard.
دقیقاً برخلاف چیزیه که دقیقاً قبل از اون توی مسئله عیسی شنیده بودن.
But not only this. If we go back to chapter 19, we have the account of the little children who were brought to Jesus.
نه تنها این مثال، اگر برگردیم به متی باب 19، داستان اون بچه‌های کوچیکی رو داریم که نزد عیسی آمده بودند.
Because Jesus in some ways wants us to have the same faith and reliance as these little children.
به خاطر اینکه عیسی به نوعی میخواد ما مثل این بچه‌های کوچیک بهش ایمان و باور داشته باشیم، بهش تکیه کنیم.
So some of the attributes of children are things that we need to avoid.
یه سری ویژگی‌هایی هست که بچه‌ها دارن، اما باید تلاش کنیم نداشته باشیم.
But Jesus, I think, is talking about acceptance.
اما عیسی اینجا داره در مورد پذیرش صحبت میکنه.
Trust.
در مورد اعتماد صحبت میکنه.
Hope.
امید.
Faith.
ایمان.
Reliance.
توکل.
So these are the childlike attributes that we need to show towards God our Father.
اینها ویژگی‌های بچگونه‌ایه که ما باید نسبت به خدا پدرمون داشته باشیم، اونها رو نشون بدیم.
So arguing about who's more important is the thing that God does not want us to do.
پس اینکه ما بخوایم بحث کنیم کی از بقیه مهمتره، چیزیه که خدا دوست نداره، نمیخواد ما انجامش بدیم.
We're going to jump ahead now to chapter 21. And the theme I want to look at in this about is what is important. Because this talks about Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And how Jesus is the most important person and he is the king. But at the same time, he was lowly and sitting on a donkey, as it says in verse 5.
اما در این حالی که پادشاه بوده، اما خیلی متواضع و فروتن بوده، همونطور که تو آیه 5 می‌خونیم، سوار بر الاغ بوده.
So we've just had these sons who wanted to be important, and yet we have Jesus setting the example.
توی باب 20 در مورد پسران زبدی خوندیم که میخواستن از بقیه مهمتر باشن و در مقابلش عیسی رو داریم که مثالی به جا میذاره.
Because a really important king would have been on something a bit more impressive than a donkey.
به خاطر اینکه اگر پادشاه مهمی واقعا وجود داشت، اون پادشاه معمولا سوار بر اسب میشدن، نه الاغ.
But Jesus wasn't afraid to lower himself as an example to us.
اما عیسی از این نمی‌ترسیده که خودش متواضع و فروتن بکنه تا مثالی برای ما بجا بذاره.
So we see the attitude of the people, of the multitudes in verse 9.
چه آیه 9 می‌بینیم مردم اون جمعیتی که اونجا در انتظار عیسی بودن چه واکنشی نشون میدن.
The multitudes went before, cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
توی آیه 9 میخونیم جمعیتی که پیشاپیش او میرفتند و گروهی که از پس او میآمدند فریاد کنند میگفتند هوشیانا بر پسر داوود، مبارک هستان که به نام خداوند میآید، هوشیانا در عرش برین.
So the people knew that he was the son of David and should be king.
پس مردم میدونستند که عیسی پسر داوود و باید پادشاه بشه.
The next thing he did was going to the temple.
کار بعدی که عیسی انجام میده اینه که به معبد میره.
And we know he overturned the tables of the money changers.
و میدونیم که میره به معبد، میز کسایی که صرافی و تجارت میکردن رو به هم میریزه.
And he drove out those who bought and sold.
و کسایی که در حال خرید و فروش و تجارت بودن رو از اونجا بیرون میکنه.
Because the temple wasn't there to be a market. But it wasn't even a market that was fair. Because Jesus said they've made it a den of thieves. So we have Jesus here trying to restore the proper use of the temple.
اینجا عیسی با این کارش در واقع داشته به مردم نشون میداده که کاربرد درست معبد چیه.
We've already looked quite a lot at Jesus' miracles of healing, and in verse 14 the lame and the blind came to him and he healed them.
قبلا دیدیم که عیسی معجزات زیادی انجام میده، شفا میده مردم رو، و اینجا هم تو این باب تو آیه 14 کسی رو که فلج بوده، کسی که نابینا بوده نزد عیسی میاد و عیسی اونها رو شفا میده.
So the people could understand that he was the Messiah and the King.
پس مردم با دیدن این معجزات میتونستن بفهمن که عیسی همون مسیح و پادشاهشونه.
But the people in authority weren't very happy.
اما کسایی که قدرت اون زمان به دست داشتن، در رأس قدرت بودن، خیلی خوشحال نبودن از این موضوع.
So they tried to question Jesus' authority.
بنابراین تلاش میکنن اقتدار عیسی رو زیر سوال ببرن.
And in verse 23 we have them asking him a question.
و توی آیه 22 سوالی از عیسی میپرسن.
By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?
از ما تو آیه 23 میپرسن به چه اجازه این کارها رو میکنی؟ چه کسی این اقتدار را به تو داده است؟
Jesus could have just given them a straight answer.
عیسی میتونست به راحتی یه پاسخ خیلی صاف و راحتی بهشون بده.
But they obviously didn't believe what he was saying.
اما اونا واضحاً به حرفای عیسی باور نداشتن.
Because even with all of the wonderful miracles that he did, they still wouldn't accept him.
به خاطر اینکه با اینکه معجزات فوق‌العاده عیسی رو دیده بودن، هنوز اونا نمیپذیرفتن.
So it was more effective for him to ask them a question.
پس راه موثرتر این بوده که به جای جواب دادن، عیسی بیاد از اونها یه سوالی بپرسه.
And the question he asked was, the baptism of John, where was it from, heaven or from men?
سوالی که از اونها میپرسه در مورد تعمید یحیاست. میگه تعمید یحیا از کجا بود؟ از آسمان یا از انسان؟
Because the same answer to that question would have answered their question.
به خاطر اینکه هر جوابی به این سوال میدادن، جواب سوال خودشون میشد.
And you can see the Pharisees were in a bit of a dilemma.
می‌بینیم که اینجا فریسی‌ها بین دو راهی گیر می‌کنن.
If we say from heaven, he will say, why didn't you believe him?
پس بین خودشون می‌گفتن اگر بگوییم از آسمان بود، به ما خواهد گفت پس چرا به او ایمان نیاوردیم.
And if we say from men, we fear the multitude.
و اگر بگوییم از انسان بود، از مردم بیم داریم.
So they answered and said, we do not know.
پس به عیسی پاسخ دادن، نمیدانیم.
Which kind of brings us back to the beginning of chapter 19.
این جواب اینا به نوعی ما رو برمیگردونه به ابتدای باب 19.
Because they asked Jesus a question. And did they really expect him to say something just to be popular to the people? But when the shoe's on the other foot, the scribes and Pharisees here wouldn't answer it. So Jesus gives two parables. One about two sons. A son who was asked to do something, said he wouldn't, but then did it. And a son who said he would do it, but didn't. But the other parable I want to look at just for a couple of minutes before we finish. And that's a parable about a landowner who had a vineyard. Now this is an interesting parable for a number of reasons. One is that it's recorded in three Gospels. Because the book of John doesn't have any parables, but Matthew, Mark and Luke have parables. So this is recorded in the other three, or in three. And there's not many parables that are recorded in Matthew, Mark and Luke. But this is possibly the most important. The only other ones I could find were the parable of the sower. The parable of the mustard seed. And the parable of the fig tree. But all of these are extremely important parables. Not only because they are very, very similar in all of the Gospels. The parable of the talents or the coins or whatever, it's slightly different how it's recorded. But the lessons behind it are still the same. But this parable of the landowner and the vineyard is identical, or almost identical, between the other two Gospels. Probably because it's so important. And it talks about the people who were unworthy and the murderers. So it should have been people who worked hard and who did what they want and who got the reward. But instead it talks about people who were terrible.
اما به جای اون این مثلا داره در مورد آدمای خیلی وحشتناکی صحبت میکنه.
And even then, it takes a little bit more of an explanation before they get it.
و حتی با این حال این مثلا یکم توضیح لازم داره قبل از اینکه بتونن متوجه منظورش بشن.
In verse 43, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing fruit.
توی آیه 43 میخونیم پس شما رو میگویم که پادشاهی خدا از شما گرفته و به قومی داده خواهد شد که میوه آن را بدهد.
So in some ways that's really important for us.
به نوعی این مثال خیلی برای ما مهمه.
Because we can be part of that nation. But we have to be able to bear fruit. And by that, I mean we have to be able to follow Jesus. So we've already covered reward and work. We've covered what we can get from it.
پس ما در مورد پاداش و کار صحبت کردیم، در مورد این صحبت کردیم که چی میتونیم به دست بیاریم.
And we've covered what God can give to us.
در مورد این صحبت کردیم که خدا میتونه چه چیزهایی به ما بده.
Because it's more than we could ever imagine.
به خاطر اینکه چیزی که خدا به ما میده اصلا فراتر از تصورات ماست.
So we can praise God and thank him for everything that he's done.
پس ما میتونیم خدا رو ستایش کنیم، ازش سپاسگزاری کنیم به خاطر همه کارهایی که انجام داده.
And I think that's probably a nice thing to end on, and thank you for translating.
I'm always a pleasure. ممنون، این پایان حرفم هست.